Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. He's Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football for the next hour here, coming off the last game of the season, a 53-39 win for Penn State over Memphis in the Cotton Bowl. Big bowl win for this program, takes them to 11-2, 11 wins for the third time in a stretch of four seasons. Shows where Penn State is, where Penn State can still have some room to grow into a little bit more in the future. That's how we're watching every game now, how we watch the Cotton Bowl as well. So we're going to start off this edition of the show with a stock report, stock up, stock down from that game, some obvious ones, maybe some not so obvious ones. We're also going to look ahead, a little sneak peek into 2020, just where the new offensive coordinator Kirk Ciarrocca fits in, what might look the same, what might look different, what we're excited about, talking about this offense going into the future. Greg Pickle not here today, so we're going to do Ask Dustin instead, and Jeff Brown's going to join us in a little bit to talk about some Penn State basketball. That's a team that's also 11-2 under Patrick Chambers, nationally ranked for the first time since 1996. So we've got a lot of ground to cover here, and we're going to do it from our spot here in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Jimmy, I'm going to give you the honors here when we're talking stock up. Well, just from the game itself, just from the Cotton Bowl itself, we can get into the numbers as we go, but who really stands out to you as a guy who's up, or a position group or whatever?
I'm going to start with position group since you allowed me to do that.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going running back. Obviously, as a position group, it's not only Journey Brown, but each one of the other guys contributing. Even Devin Ford, only a couple carries, but he did score a touchdown. And what's amazing to me is you have the four guys, and all indications are they're all happy,
yeah,
which is amazing. And I think you have to give a stock up to running back coach Juwan Sider,
yeah,
to keep that group happy. He's bringing the recruits in, and he's got two new Florida recruits coming into his room next year. Kudos to him. Great job.
That garage is full, and there are some fast cars in that garage. And you saw, you know, like the running game is a product of a lot of different components coming together. And, you know, in this game, that offensive line gave that initial opening, and most of these backs had an opportunity to do something when they got into the second level. And so, you know, I will single out Journey Brown, because when he got into the second level, he was off to the races a bunch of times. And in some of those cases, kind of untouched and streaking to there. In other cases, he was just shoving Memphis defenders off of him. It happened a bunch of times in this game. I thought a really impressive performance from a physicality standpoint, from a game breaker kind of standpoint. And for me, you know, his stock has gone up pretty steadily from week one until now. Really from the end of last year to now, we've heard a lot about his improvement as a player. We haven't, you know, this kind of marked the culmination, I think, of that improvement. And now you got a guy who's a redshirt sophomore, you know, has the biggest game of his career, shows so much to go with that straight line, that long speed that he's got. You know, he was a state champion sprinter, is a guy who rushed for 700 yards in a game in high school, had some things to put together when he got to this level, had some things to fight through, but he sure looks like the leader in that backfield. And if that makes him the leader, then you've got a deep group of guys who are behind him, just kind of waiting for their opportunities. I think it's a good thing. You go from four, we might have as many as six scholarship running backs who kind of command a piece of that. It'll be fun to see how they work that.
Well, talking running backs, I am going to give you the surprise stock up. And I'm sure you didn't see this coming. Stock up Andrew P. Shea. And you want to know why? Last week,
he called it. Three guys scoring touchdowns. I saw it.
Yep.
I saw it.
And if you didn't see it, I'm sure he will tell you. But kudos to him. He had his bold prediction within a quarter and a half of the game.
Well, I'm glad to see one of his Penn State running back bold predictions work out for him. The one where he said Andre Robinson was a better running back than Saquon Barkley when they were recruits. That one didn't work out so great for him.
Andy, if you're listening, Dustin will not let you have your day in the sun, will he?
No. Hey, look, as the whitest white guy, you know, I've never had a day in the sun. If I have a day in the sun, I have to be in the shade for at least 2 weeks. You're coming into the shade with me, Andrew Piché. No, but that's a good call, though. I think he saw coming, you know, maybe the advantage Penn State would have. And when you have that advantage and you're going to mix and match running backs, everybody's going to have themselves a day. So Devin Ford did. Ricky Slade had a nice, five carries for 58 yards. Noah Cain came in there and looked fresh. He looked healthy, which that in itself is a stock up, is to have Noah Cain after, I don't know, what, about 5 weeks of the season where he wasn't healthy. And I think I saw that he either tied or set a Penn State freshman touchdown record.
Did he really? Yeah, that's great.
Rushing touchdown. Broke Saquon Barkley's record. I think he broke it. I don't have it in front of me whether he – but either way, he missed a third of the year and still got that touchdown mark. Bright future for him. I have no idea how this puzzle is going to keep getting put together going forward, but I think it's a positive and not a negative.
It is, and what will make it tougher is in this game, just like early in the year in the out-of-conference schedule when they were playing lesser teams and could get all four in and get their touches, same way here when you had, 50 carries, you couldn't split them up and give to several guys. What happens when you don't have as many possessions and it's not a 50-39 type game when you don't get the touches? And I believe the solution is, you know, do you have two running back sets? Do you use these guys more out of the backfield if you don't have the full set of receivers like you might otherwise like to have? Is that a way to get them more touches? Maybe it's a position change. Could we see Ricky Slade taking the KJ Hamler position next year?
I mean, as we sit here today, KJ Hamler might be taking the KJ Hamler position next year. We don't know as of now, and it's going to be and as we get into what we think the 2020 offense is going to look like, that could be a component of it. Something probably has to give, but at the same time, you know, this is where college football is going. You hear that from James Franklin all the time. You can be the number three running back on your depth chart and still get an opportunity at the pro ranks. You just need some film and you need some testing numbers. And that's proven that, you know, and in addition to the fact that the lower the mileage, the more desirable you are as a running back. So if you show it on film for a year, he'll hold up Miles Sanders as an example. Also, we saw, you know, the ebb and flow of how this year went, where Ricky Slade was kind of in that pole position to start. He faded from that pole position. Noah Cain moved into the pole position, and you're wondering why. And you saw him being able to close out drives. So then Noah Cain gets a little dinged up. Journey Brown moves into the pole position. You've seen all but Devin Ford have had that kind of run at being the sort of number one guy. And I think that points to, you know, one of the assets that Penn State has is that over the course of a season, you're probably going to get that opportunity. And that's all you can ask for, right? As a competitor, you just saw Journey Brown be healthy and effective enough to take that opportunity and literally run with it. And I think it's going to take him into that pole position to start next year. Will he stay there? I don't know.
Well, and at that position, that's what's going to happen. You know they're going to get banged up. All right, that was a lot about the running backs. Yeah. Let's get a couple more stock up. Your turn. You go ahead.
Micah Parsons, 100%. It's the most obvious choice of all. 14 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 passes defended, and another quarterback hurry. So he was the dominant factor for this Penn State defense. You had some bend. They did a good job of not breaking on a lot of these drives. Memphis had to settle for 6 field goals on drives that at different points looked promising. Micah Parsons being able to create plays that put him behind schedule, create plays that create turnovers. Two strip sacks. They weren't able to recover the fumble on the first one. The second one goes down as a pick six for Garrett Taylor, where the ball popped up in the air. Micah Parsons, the sideline to sideline linebacker, earned him All-America honors. Micah Parsons, the game wrecker, is going to put him in that top three or five draft pick category next year in 2020. We're not going to see him beyond the 2020 season with the way things have gone. This was another big step in the right direction. He was already a consensus All-American, already viewed as probably the best linebacker in the country. And then the best linebacker in the country had by far his best game in a bowl game. There, the hype train is going to be real going into next year. You put together what he's been able to do as he's still learning the position. He's a sophomore who didn't play true linebacker in high school. So you had some component, like he's just starting to master this craft, and that's pretty scary.
And I was texting with a former player over the weekend talking about Mike and that ability, and he talked about that ability to force turnovers, force those fumbles is a real skill in and of itself.
Yeah.
The timing of it, going for the ball, and you saw that. You're right. That is the next step for him. And it's a game changer.
And if you're able to, you know, what you're able to do with him, Brent Pry, you know, put him in a coverage situation, which, by the way, overcommitted on a screen and kind of paved the way for, you know, a big gain. But, you know, those mistakes are becoming fewer and further between. And his reputation was, you know, the structure of playing that position. He needed to learn that and not freelance as much. He's starting to get – it's all coming together in a big way. But I think what they're able to do, delayed blitzes, showing blitz and having them drop back, what you're able to do as a coordinator and as a defense, it changes completely whenever you have somebody who can do everything at such a high level.
Exactly. I'm going to come up with the next one. I have to go with Pat Freiermuth, who just – only two receptions, but both of them were highlight kind of receptions because what he did after the catch, running somebody over. And as I said, there was the play where Jahan Dotson scored. He made the great block to free him up. Tremendous effort by Pat Freiermuth. I'm just like every other Penn State fan. I am so excited that he's coming back for another season.
It's a big deal. It stabilizes that position well into the future. Just him coming back, impact player too. Stock, in terms of stock down, we've been through the pass defense. There's nothing new there. A lot of passing yards. Memphis was able to make it look easy at times. There are some things to figure out, whether from a scheme or personnel standpoint. But otherwise, doesn't take away from a day where the defense, they made plays when they needed to, and the offense, 396 rushing yards. That leads the way as Penn State wins 53-39. They finish the regular season. They finish the 2019 season with an 11-2 record, 11 wins now in 3 out of 4 years. We're going to move on. Let's talk 2020. It's not too early, especially with the new offensive coordinator coming into town. We're going to look at this offense, what we think it's going to look like next year. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas Gift Box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron, all in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.